as I'm sure you were as you opened your eyes this morning and gave praise and thanks to God for giving us this new day. Whatever our circumstances are, we need to know that God is in those circumstances with us and that he will keep us and carry us. Okay, just before the children go out, Matthew, if you'd like to play that DVD, I want you... Okay, thank you. Zoe is 2 years and 8 months old. Isn't that awesome? And children, that came to me through the week from my son in Townsville, and it really stirred and encouraged my heart. Because I, like others here, have had children and I have grandchildren. I've seen my grandchildren at a very young age stand and sing to the glory of God. And do you know what? They are still singing to the glory of God. And I just want to encourage you, and particularly you children today, to see that and to know that little Zoe at 2 years and 8 months can remember those very important words. And if you, parents, as you look at that, she really was beating the time in her little head. She could hear the music and she was right in there. And just think what God is going to do with her life, he is doing with her life and will continue to do with her life. And so, children, I want you to know that God has given you a brain and he's given you talents and he's given you an ability to learn his word, to be able to sing glory to him. And so do that. We want to see you young people up here praising God. We want to see you young people giving God everything that you have. So I want all the children to come out the front now, and I'm going to bless you before you go out to Sunday school. Just stand here in the front, please. Over here in the front. I want you all to stand in the front here. Off we come. All the children out here. Hello. We got everybody?
Yes.
Matthew, come around here, please. We'll wait for the littlies. Come on, Noah. Taylor. All out. Snuggle in. Snuggle in. You know, the Lord really wants to bless you. And this morning, I want to bless you in Jesus' name. And you know, when somebody stands as God's representative and touches you on the head, it's a real blessing and impartation from God. And Matthew, this morning I want to say to you that God loves you and honours you. And that the Lord has shown me within you, Matthew, for some time, but particularly this morning, as you looked at me and I looked into your eyes, God showed me the heart of a servant, but not a servant as it came with the word this morning that Dot so aptly brought, a servant just that serves, a servant that is a son in the house. And there is a real gentleness in you, Matthew, and it's not a gentleness of an emotion, it's a gentleness of the Spirit of God, and God is going to grow that in you and grow you strong that you will be his son and you will willingly serve him all the days of your life. And I just want to bless you, Matthew, in Jesus' name. And there are others here that I know that God loves and honours and wants to bless. James, we bless you as you go off into your new church and Abigail. And so in Jesus' name, I bless you each one, that God will minister his grace and his love and his strength to you and his portion. And all the days of your life, you will grow in him. And though you are small, the Lord is saying to you that you will not forget his benefits. You will not forget the ministry of his love into your hearts, that his spirit will stir in you, and that each one of you will grow up into strong men and women that will serve him. There were many things that will take you through life. There were things that will stir your hearts and try to lead you off into other paths. But the Lord says, from this day forward, he knows your name. He sees you. He has called you by name. He knows each one of you, and he will call you back. He will call you back to be with him because he has an appointed plan for each one of your lives. Is there anybody I haven't touched? In Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you and praise you that I seal that now by the power of your Spirit, Lord, that you know each one of these children. You know the life that you have put within them. You know the strength. You know the wills that need to be trained for you. You know the weaknesses and the struggles that some of them have, Lord. But you will take them on that path that you have for them. And that, Lord God, you will bring forth all of the strengths and the purposes that you have for each one of these children. And we declare before you this morning that you will keep them and hold them in your care, and that they will grow to be strong men and women in your house, and that they will serve you all the days of their life, and that some of you children, God has placed within you talents, and you will sing for him, you will dance for him, you will play instruments for him. And there are other ways you will serve him, but the Lord says that he delights in each one of you. So be blessed now as you go and learn his word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Off you go. We need to have our eyes open to see what God is doing. And when I showed that video, you know, sometimes we look at things and we laugh and we think it's cute, but there's nothing cute in God. It is powerful. And that little girl was singing with her whole heart. She was singing, and we need to sing to God with our whole heart to give him. And you know, the beauty of children is that they're not complicated, are they? As we grow up, we become complicated and we hold back and we become self-conscious. And we need to be God-conscious all the time. We need to be God-conscious so that we can give out everything that God's given us. I don't know about you, but when I look at these children and even these young ones and even younger people than myself, I think, oh, Lord, I remember I was down the street yesterday and I saw this, it was on Friday, this lady, and she was strutting along, and I thought, oh, I remember those days when I could strut like that. And now I just praise God that I can still walk. But we thank God, and sometimes, you know, we get out of bed and the old bones feel creaky and weary, and there are people, thank you very much, darling, there are people who have greater struggles than I do, but the bones ache, and I often see my husband, he gets on the side of the bed with a bottle of liniment and rubs it into his knees, and it really, really helps. I don't know so much as the liniment or the rubbing and the circulation of the blood. And sometimes we move, and as we get older, we hear crack, creak, crackle, and the bones all crack. But we say, thank you, Lord. And I just keep praying and asking the Holy Spirit, particularly as we come around communion time, as I do each day, that the Spirit of God would come and oil the inside of me, would really strengthen me. Because you see, the thing we have to remember is that God birthed us, God brought us forth, he gave us a new life, he put a new song in our mouth and in our heart, and it's God's plan and purpose for each thing that we will do, and he will take us every day of our life, no matter what the struggle is, no matter what the pain is, no matter what the affliction is, no matter what the challenge is that we come across. God says, I will be with you. And you know, church, it's very important that you remember that, that we keep our eyes on him and that we don't look at the problem, because there is a way out for all things. Now this morning, I want us to turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. God has laid this on my heart for some time, and I've really been praying when to bring it, and the Lord said it was for today. And so in verse 1 it says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all and around them, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to those bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, and they were an exceeding great army. This morning, out of this scripture, we see Ezekiel, who had been called. And we're going to talk about rebirth, renewal, revival, and the Holy Spirit who brings it all. And you know, just to go back, we go back to the very beginning in the garden when God created Adam and Eve, or when he created Adam. And he brought him forth, and he was a magnificent creation. But he was nothing until the Lord God breathed breath into him. He had to breathe breath into him. This passage begins, I think, with a delightful phrase. The Lord's hand, the Lord God's hand, was upon me. Do you feel the Lord God's hand upon you? How long is it since you felt the Lord God touch you? Do you know, I have people say to me, I don't hear God speak to me. I don't feel God. Well, let me tell you, God has not moved. It's that we become so preoccupied with me, so preoccupied with where I feel my life should be, what I should be doing, my struggles, my difficulties, my failures, my sin, the things that draw me away. That is why we do not feel or hear the word of God. God is with us, and God, we know, speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through others, but God actually speaks to us. God speaks to me. But you see, if I want to hear you speaking, I need to make myself available. I need to listen, and not just listen with my ears, I need to listen with my heart. We all do it. We say, hello, how are you? And then we keep going. Do we really want to hear how another person is? If you want to hear God speak to you, you need to be still, to be quiet and hear him. You need to come and glorify him. You need to open your heart to him and allow his spirit to speak into your life and to be touched by God. Now, I've known the touch of God in healing, but I've also known the touch of God in love. And God will touch us. God will touch us if we're ready. I'm a very touchy person. I grew up hearing that I was cold and I was a stone and I had no feeling. And I believed that until the Lord Jesus Christ came into my life and opened me up and showed me how much love he had placed within my heart. And so you all know me, I'm a touchy person. I love to touch, I love to impart that blessing. It's not just a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing, to touch people. And as I touch them, to really be praying in my heart that God will bless them. And that's very, very important. We're not just to go around to be gushy and touching people with our own flesh. But if we have something in Christ, then we need to impart it. We need to know what it's like to be touched by God. And so God's hand was upon Ezekiel. And God takes Ezekiel to an interesting place. You know, I've often thought about it. God could have taken Ezekiel to a mountaintop and let him look down. But no, he took him down into a valley, because the valley is where death is. The valley is where brokenness is. The valley is where despair is. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy staff and thy rod, they comfort me. So Jesus takes us through the valley. But God took Ezekiel into the valley so that he would see and that he would identify. You know, I remember years ago there was this song, them dry bones, them bones, them dry bones, them bones, them bones, them dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Well, this morning the Lord is speaking to dry bones. And it says the toe bone is jointly is fitted to the foot bone, the foot bone is jointed to the ankle bone, and so on, and it goes right through the body, that song. In fact, I had it on a thing and I thought, no, I wouldn't bring it. But it speaks about life, the jointly fitting together of life. And we know when we think about those bones in a way we jointed together, it's where a part of the body and each part is jointly fit together, as Lewis beautifully brought in communion about that serving one another, but we serve God. And you know, as Elder Lewis said this morning about this love, that love is about the body, that we are to love one another. But we are to have a special love for the world, a love that doesn't condemn them, but a love that prays for their salvation. But the love that we shared around communion is the body, that we're to have that love for one another. Because if we can't love us, we can't love the world. And so God was bringing Ezekiel into an awesome place. And he brought him into this valley. And I was picking my husband's brains, because I've seen on TV and I've seen odd things. But John was sharing. And of course you get him talking about when he was a boy in Oyen and he can't stop. And he was telling me about how, you know, when the cattle would die, how they and the sheep, they dragged them out to this place out of Oyen, and how this great pile of carcasses and bones would pile up. And you see, that's what Ezekiel saw, but he didn't see carcasses, he just saw dry bones. Huge piles of dry bones in this place. Just try to imagine being Ezekiel in that valley. And God didn't just stand in there and look. The word says he led him through, back and forth. So he was really telling Ezekiel to look. Now, I'd want to have a quick look and get out of there, because this valley speaks about death, brokenness, hopelessness. But God said, come on, walk through this valley, walk through. Just imagine. And then he says, come on, Ezekiel, you've got it, you've got it. Now let's look again. And then God asks Ezekiel a question. In the midst of this, when I can imagine Ezekiel is trying to get his head around all this and think, what am I here for? Lord, I'm here. I believe I'm a prophet. I've come to prophesy life. I've come to talk about your power. And you've brought me into this place of death. You've brought me into this valley of dryness, of utter destruction. And the Lord says to Ezekiel, can these bones live, Ezekiel? Now, Ezekiel could have said, like many of us would, well, maybe, Lord, if we went and put some sinews on them, or if you put screws in them, or if you took them to this doctor, or offered all of these things. But Ezekiel didn't. What did Ezekiel say? He said, Lord, you know. Lord, you know. Now, do you know why Ezekiel was clever enough to say that and not to be able to give excuses? The answer is in the beginning, because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The Spirit of the Lord had touched him. God had touched him. And so God's wisdom was at work within him. Do you know, when you face people in destruction, when you face people without any hope, don't speak out of your own wisdom, because you will only offer all of this repetitious stuff that will mean nothing to them. Bring God to them. Bring the power and the Spirit of God to them, because it's only him that can bring healing and restoration to them. And so that was the right answer. That was the right and the best answer that Ezekiel could give. There's a similar kind of experience in John's Gospel, John chapter 6. A crowd of people were gathered, and the Bible says, and there were 500 men, let alone women, 5,000 men, let alone women and children. And so Jesus looked at Philip and he said, where are we going to get enough food for these people? And you see, Philip didn't give the right answer. He said, Lord, even 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough food for all of these people. That's 8 months' wages, and it wouldn't be enough to feed them all. And then Jesus fed them, not because of Philip's answer, but in spite of it. See, God will ask us the difficult questions. Do you have the answer? The answer is found in him, but we need to know him, and we need to know what he's saying to us. So here we are, Ezekiel in the valley with these dead bones, and he says, Lord, you know. Lord, you know. And then God says to Ezekiel, preach to these bones. Now, I love to speak the word of God, not necessarily just here. I love to speak to people about the things of God. But who wants to preach to dead bones? Who wants to bring the word of God to dead bones? But that is what God called him to do. He had to speak the word of God, because it's only the word of God that can bring life to death. So Ezekiel, when I think about it, we sometimes think, well, with some interesting answer, well, Lord, couldn't I sing to them? That'd make me feel better, and maybe it'd make the bones feel better. But God said, no, I want you to prophesy to these bones. And then, because what they really need is the word of life. They really need to hear the word of life. We need to hear the word of life, the word of truth that sets men free. And so then God, to be sure that Ezekiel gets it right, tells him what to say. And it wasn't referring to foretelling, but rather forthtelling. He was to proclaim to them the word of God and speak clear and specifically to these bones. Today, our churches need to hear the truth of the word of God. We don't need fancy buildings. We don't need great, huge, massive choirs of people. We don't need gimmicks. We need the word of God. We have to know that there are many people serving God and that love him, and there are people in places and other countries that struggle, that don't have those things, but they lay their very life on the line to bring the word of God and the word of truth. And in this country of Australia, we have people that are looking for ways and gimmicks and things to win people to Christ. It doesn't work. It'll win them to the gimmick. If you, we want to befriend people, and we're going through our courses about friendship evangelism and being a friend and getting alongside someone. But you see, if we just make a friend of someone and we invite them to, say, a golf day or a football day or whatever else it is, I've seen it happen. The people will become hooked on golf or football, but they haven't got the message. So in that friendship, in that taking those things, we still need to be showing the witness of Christ within us, and we still need to be speaking the things of God, that we want to befriend them, we want to go out with them, but we want to see them saved. That's got to be ultimate. Otherwise, we win them to football, or we win them to golf, or we win them to some other thing. They'll think this is a good idea, and they will like the friendship, but they won't see Christ. And so we see that God is calling us. In 1 Corinthians it says, God looked at the alleged wisdom of the world and chose through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. And so the bones need preaching. We need to speak the word of God. We need to live the word of God. We need to reveal the Spirit of God to these people. Sometimes we think, just let's have a good program and that's going to do it, but it won't. We've got to be in there. We've got to be showing what it's about. I've heard about a church not so far from here that gives a book to every person that brings a new convert, a new person into the church. Now, that's great. It's a very expensive program, and it's great. But you see, it's not that. It's not bringing someone so you get a book. It's bringing someone so that they'll be saved. And the work's got to be done before and after you bring them. It's got to be an ongoing thing so that we're really reaching into people's hearts. And so God says to Ezekiel, I'm not going to leave you to come up with your own message, so I'm going to tell you what to preach. And this is what the Lord says, prophesy to these bones and tell them to hear the word of the Lord, to tell them that. So God wants Ezekiel to tell them three things. He wants him to tell them that I'll change your status, I'll put breath in you, and you'll go from being skeleton to flesh-covered beings and will know that I am the Lord. And that is what God wants to do today. He wants to change man's status. He wants to put the breath of life in man, and he wants us to go from being skeletons to flesh-covered beings and know that he is the Lord. That's what people really need to hear. Ezekiel, having heard this assignment, prophesies. And as I read and I look at verse 7 and I connect it with previous verses, verse 4 says, then he said to me, prophesy to these bones. And then in verse 7, so I prophesied as I commanded. Now what do we see there? Total obedience. Are we always obedient? There's a sticker that says, God's word says it and I believe it and that's the end of it. Do we always believe that? Sometimes God asks us to do unusual things. Sometimes God asks us to do seemingly foolish things. If we know it's God speaking to us and we come into a place of being familiar with God in the sense of understanding that it's his voice speaking to us, are we obedient? God requires obedience. We talk about sacrifice. There is no sacrifice that can outgive what the Lord Jesus has done for us. But now he requires our total obedience, not my wisdom. And yet, you know, sometimes we can stand and argue with God, not so much verbally, but in everything. Obedience always isn't carried out, and we know that from the Word of God, that it isn't always. We say, well, why should I do that? God says, because I said so. I know, but I mean, well, there's no buts. God said, do it, do it. And so when we were children, well, I know when I was a child, if I was told to do something, I did it. Especially when the voice of authority was spoken or a hand came down, you certainly moved and you did what you were told. And you see, we need to understand the authority of God. And before we can have authority, we need to come under authority. And sometimes as parents struggle with authority with their children. A lot of that is because they don't know how to come under authority themselves. So we need to come under the authority of God. We need to come under the authority of those that are over us. And then we'll learn about authority and speaking that authority to our children. And that's not yelling and screaming and pushing them around. That's a voice and the command of authority that a child learns to trust in. And so as children, we need to trust in the authority of God and know that when he speaks, we need to listen and we need to obey, because it is only for our good. And so, prophesy, Ezekiel. Why should I do that? I don't understand the thing about these bones anyway. God said, prophesy. So we need to be obedient. If we find ourselves in a valley of bones, or if we find ourselves to be the bones, we need to be obedient to what God says. After Ezekiel obediently preached, amazing things started to happen in the valley. After Ezekiel preached, flesh came and started to form on the bones, and there was a rattling sound. They came together, they stood there and had flesh, and they started to look good. Now imagine the shock. You see, that's what faith is. I don't know whether Ezekiel understood fully what God was doing. I don't know whether he, like us, we only have to put ourselves in the position. Yes, Lord, I'll do it in obedience after all the struggles and things. I'll do this in obedience. I know you're a great God, but there's always a but inside of us, isn't there? And then imagine the shock when we see these bones starting to come to life, real life. And you see, these bones weren't just bones. What I read from Scripture, they were dry bones. All the life had gone out of them. All of the within bones, there is a mucus, there's membrane, there's another word, the marrow of the bone, that's the life. And all of that was dried out, so these bones had nothing. They were dry and they were empty and they were barren. And so it says they started to come together, and verse 8 ends with a sense of sadness then, because they were there, but there was no breath in them. There was no life in them. Now the Hebrew word here is translated wind, breath, or spirit. And that which inspires, that's what it means. And the breath of God is energizing, an energizing principle of life to each one of us. And nothing happens unless God breathes in us. Yes, we live and breathe and walk around, but where's our being? Where do we have our being? Where is the real life? And so God told Ezekiel to prophesy life into these, to breathe the spirit into them. You know, church, there are many people today attending churches, and maybe you're one of them. You have a fine frame and you look good, but there's no life in you. Sometimes we can feel that we're that skeleton. We feel empty. We feel even the marrow's dried out of us. We feel despondent, discontented. We feel hurt. We feel broken. And we can feel that we're just a rattling skeleton. There is no life in us. And you see, we can put on clothes and we can dress up and we can look good and we can pretend, but God knows our hearts. And you see, when there's no life, there is nothing that comes out. We're just in existence. We just attend, but we're not really anything that is vital. There's no life going on because there is no breath. There is no breath of life. I've seen people stand over coffins and caskets and they say, oh, look, they just look asleep. What a nonsense, they're dead. You see, we say those things to make us feel better. We say, oh, don't they look so peaceful? They're just sleeping, they look beautiful. Well, I'm sorry, they're dead. They're dead, and their eternal life is in God's hands. But you see, we deceive ourselves. And even when we look at each other, we sometimes say, oh, gee, they're doing well. But are we really looking and seeing that there's brokenness and despondency inside of that person and there's part of them that's dying? We can only see that as we have this breath of life within us, as we have the Spirit and the power of the Spirit that we can see and then impart by prayer and the laying on of hands that Spirit into another person. God says, prophesy. Nothing will happen in the church until the wind blows. We cry out for revival, but you see, God wants to revive us. God wants the power of His Spirit to ignite us as a church body. There is a world out there. We say, oh, well, you know, you're speaking about this. Well, we're not in a valley of dry bones. Well, have you driven around the streets of St. Albans late at night lately and seen the brokenness and the dryness and the emptiness that's around? Have you seen mothers wheeling prams that are zoned out on drugs and children running all over the place? Have you seen the drug people on corners down at the station or there's certain schools around? I move around very early hours in the morning sometimes in situations that I need to go to. And when I come back, God shows me things, and it's not always safe to be out late at night. But not only that, have you visited the schools and seen some of the kids that come emptiness and broken to school? We do a lunch program in schools, and Damien and Jenny are very involved in schools, and they see the result of some of these broken lives that come to schools. And we see children who come without meals, and we see kids that are old before their years. We see the rate of young girls getting pregnant increasing. We see the rate of divorce increasing, even in Christian homes. We see brokenness. We see children. I speak to children that are 6 and 7 that know more about life than they should know, and not real life, but about the perverted side of life. They know all about sexual things and things that they can't possibly understand well before their years. We live in a world of dry bones. We live in a world of brokenness. And the sad thing is, church, it's in the church as well. It's in the church as well, because we are not standing and being who God has called us to be. We're not standing and allowing His Spirit to fill us with the fullness and the power that we need to be able to live. And we can be so broken down, we think, well, how can I help somebody else? I've got so many problems myself. Well, we need to know God's fulfillment of that difficulty and know He would take us through. Now, God never asks more of us than we can give, but He knows what He's placed in each one of us. Just as I said with these children already, God knows who they'll be and where they'll be when they're our age. God knows all about each one of us. And you see, God knows what He's placed within you. And so many people live their lives without fulfilling what God has placed within them. Is that not sad? They miss it. They miss it. It's like the millionaire who died on the park bench in the snow, a poverty-stricken person that had run away from family and didn't know that $1 million had been placed in their account. God has placed life within each one of us. And God, all He requires is that we live that life to the full by the power of His Spirit. God desires that people know Him and know the fullness of Him. As the word came this morning, that God's glory is for us. They will know that I am the Lord, and I will do this, and they will know that I am the Lord. God wants us to know. Ezekiel, I want you to walk away with this. I am the Lord. Psalm 100 rings out. Knowing that the Lord is God, it is He who has made us, and we are His. So what comes out of this trip to the valley? On the mountain, Elijah has his contest with the followers of Baal, and he proves that his God is Lord. And the people start clamoring, crying, almost in unison. And when you read this passage in 1 Kings, you see that they cry out, "The Lord, He is God." And they are the worshippers of Baal because they have seen His glory. God does His work again and again, we see right through the scripture. So we must see that He is doing His work today. Not so that we can pat ourselves on the back and think, gee, I've done a great thing. In fact, when God moves in my life and I am used to bring some word of strength and hope, some word of solution, some love, some hope, rather than thinking, oh, that's great, because it's done out of His Spirit, a great humility comes over me, a great awareness of, God, You would dare to trust me with that word. I know I'm not that clever. It's got to come from Him, but it can only flow in and out through me and you as we spend time with Him, as we allow His Spirit to touch our dry bones, as we allow His Spirit to put flesh on our skeleton, as we allow His Spirit to empower us, that we feel full and empowered with Him. Nothing of ourselves. Be strong in the power of the Lord and not in the strength of your own might. Know His power. Know, as that word came this morning, what it means to be a son and a daughter, not just a servant. Know what it means to inherit all that the Father has for the son and the daughter. Inherit and then use and be used for Him. We need to go to the valley this morning. In our valley, we need to see where the bones are. We need to see where the brokenness is. Some of you might say, well, I don't need that. I can just look in the mirror. No, that's not true. The mirror will only give you a reflection of what you want to see. The only mirror that we need to look in is this word here. Empowered by His Spirit, that we would look and see where those broken things are in each of our lives. Dusty, barren, parched areas. We need to hear the good news that every part of our being can be filled and live again, that the marrow can flourish, that the blood can flow, that we can be vital and alive and full in Him. That's the good news. God has given His life. Jesus gave His life to show how much He loved us. And He said, "It is finished," meaning that all that He came to die for is finished, that He had conquered the grave, He had conquered sin and death. When we feel our worst is when we allow the things of this world to draw us away, when we allow sin to come into our lives and we try to cover it up and we think, no one will know, I can get away with this. Well, we can't. Until sin is confessed, until we come face to face with a holy God and allow Him to cleanse us and make us whole, we cannot live for Him. And it's only then, as we confess our sin, that we can forgive others. When we hold on to unforgiveness, it's often because we're holding on to sin in our own lives. But when we release it and we fall on God and say, Lord, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. Forgive me and cleanse me. Then we know what it's like to stand in His righteousness and be able to generously forgive others. Do you feel that you're rattling this morning? Do you feel that you need a fresh wind of the Spirit to come upon you? Do you feel maybe that you've become spiritually dry and brittle and lifeless? Many of us have these struggles. There may be personal things you're going through that you find hard to cope with. Perhaps you once walked closely with the Lord, but time and other things. You know, we can get so caught up in doing what we think are the good things. Men can work so hard providing for their families that they lose track of where they really are. They get caught up in the value of the money or the value of what it's going to do. A nice home, an education, all those things are good, but not at the extent of losing a relationship with the Lord and His empowerment. Women can get so caught up with wanting to have a beautiful home that they get so caught up with worshipping the home, they forget. And it becomes a house, not a home, that it's a haven, a place where husband and children can come in and rest and feel secure. We can get caught up in so many things. We can get caught up in the busyness of life. Oh, I can't be with you now. I've got to go to this church function. I've got to go to that church function. All those things. But you see, God has placed everything within our hands to be able to do it. It's called relationship. That when I've said this over and over, and I do it, and I'm not going to say to you now that I do it 365 days of the year, but I do it most of the time. And that is every morning. I not only praise God and thank Him for the morning, but I stand and speak in tongues for 10 minutes at least. Sometimes once you start, it goes on. And that sets the course for your whole day. You've connected with a holy God. You wake up out of your sleep, you know he's been with you, he's kept you. And I pray to get out of bed. I pray that God is going to keep my body, and I glorify him and I thank him. And before I know where I am, I feel like I'm just 16. Amen. That's true. It's true, I tell you. My husband will bear that out. I know I couldn't do what I do if I didn't have that relationship. It's not in doing, though. It's in being. It's in being. Otherwise, it's dry, dead works. Everything we do. I had a lovely time yesterday with three of my grandchildren. That's why I couldn't come last night. Because to release Ross to be able to be here for this building, because there was a previous thing that Roxanne couldn't get out of, I had the children and I loved it. But they ran me ragged, I can tell you. But the thing is, it was wonderful. And I was able to impart into them as they did to me. So we need to know that spirit of his grace and his love and his strength and his wholeness and his healing and of his overcoming power. Whatever the case is in your life, whether you feel exhausted, whether you feel burnt out, whatever, the Spirit of God is here to touch you. He is always here to touch you, to heal you and to lead you. You know, no matter how deep it is, Jesus is deeper. No matter how wide, he is wider. He is still the bright and morning star. He is still the lily of the valley. He is still Jesus, the sweetest name that I have ever heard. Jesus, Jesus, my Jesus. And his spirit is alive to touch each one of us. All we have to do is believe that even as God is able to bring life to dry bones, he is able to bring new life to dry and lifeless places within you. Broken dreams, hurt feelings. You need to hear the word of God. It's not my words, it's his word that is spoken to you today. It is only his word that can touch us and bring life to us. No matter how dry and hopeless and abandoned you may feel, it's not what we feel. We need to know that God has not left you. He is able and he desires to bring you out of that place of mourning and brokenness into life, a life of hope. You see, we get caught up with what I feel. Let's get caught up with what I know, what the Word of God tells me. And finally, we need to ask and receive a fresh infilling every day. And today's no different. You see, if you don't ask for today, tomorrow you're carrying today's and yesterday's, and the next day's you're carrying that and the next. And so it accumulates under, we've got this great big huge thing of pain and grief. Now, it doesn't just mean that the thing just goes away, but it means that we look at it differently. It means that we start to see it through God's eyes. It means that we have hope, a hope that doesn't come from me, a hope that comes from him, and a purpose to know that he will do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to his power, his spirit at work within me. Not my mind, not my thoughts, not my feelings, but his spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Invite the Spirit of God. Give him permission to work in those areas. You know, I speak to people and they say, oh, you know, I can't get to this. It's because our emotions block it off. Give God permission to move in and say, Lord, I want to deal with whatever it is. I want to see whatever it is. I want to yield whatever it is to you so that you can bring life to me. Let the power of God transform you this morning anew, to restore you completely and flow from you, because there is a world out there that is dying, and we've been given a great commission, have we not? And if we are broken, empty vessels, how can we bring life to a world that is dying? I've already sketched out some of the things, and you know many others, you know people, you know neighbours that have struggles. Don't limp to them. Run to them. Don't weep with them for your own sadness. Weep with them for theirs, but then bring life to them. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you want to rebirth us. You want to renew us. You want to revive us by your Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Lord God, bring your Spirit this morning. Stir our hearts. Lord, I pray that each one of us, Lord, would be honest and open before you. That, Lord God, we would come before you and that we would stand and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord God. Search me and know me. Try my heart. See, Lord, what needs to be changed in me, that I might be willing, Lord, to yield to you, to yield to your power, to yield to your word, that I might say with Jesus, it is finished. And that I can stand in that place that you've appointed for me. Stand, church, stand this morning. Stand. Stand in that place. Stand in that place. And allow God to search each of our hearts, that his Spirit might restore life to us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and ignite each heart. If your heart is struggling this morning, if you feel dry and parched, lift your hands, not to me, to him. Lift your hands, and as you do, it will signify you open your heart, that he might come in, that he might search your heart, that he might stir your heart to life, life in him. Brother and sister, this morning the Lord is saying, allow me to be Lord of your life. Allow me to speak into your life. Allow me to put flesh on your bones. Allow me to put life within you through the power of my Spirit. We praise you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.